Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here. Can you guys hear me? Do you want me to move this up a little bit? Good? Okay. For those who don't know me, my name is Jacob. I currently live in Rhode Island, but I hail from the great state of Ohio. And very happy to be here. The woman who was singing up here earlier and singing with me last night, that's my wife, Andrea. Yeah. She's pretty cool. And I am very excited about sharing God's word with you today. I wouldn't say I'm a great speaker. I would say I'm adequate because the Lord is good and the Lord is great. And very excited. Revive has a special place in my heart. Of all the different events that I've been to through the years, and just to see everybody. And for some of you, this is the only time of year I see you, but it's really good. And there's this one memory I have that I will never forget, and I tell people this often. And it was a few years ago, Stan Chi, he was about to preach, and he was introducing himself and telling everybody about himself, and he said, unlike everything in here, I'm not made in China. That was so funny. So funny that I remember it. And I tell other people that joke, and they laugh. They love it. So very, very excited to be here today. And with the exception of three people, I think I was the one who stayed up the latest. I didn't go to bed till 3:30. So if I'm up here preaching, you guys can listen. So before we go any further, I want to just make way by introduction. The theme of this year is grounded here at Revive. And as soon as Sean asked me to speak, I knew exactly what passage to preach on. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up. We're going to have the verses on the screen, but not just quite yet. If you have your Bible or on your phone, open up to the book of Psalms. And the first psalm that we're going to, the psalm that we're going to be looking at today is Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It's six verses long, but we're only going to be looking at the first three verses this morning. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. This is the word of the Lord. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. This is God's word for you and for me this morning. If you please join me in prayer. God, I thank you for this morning and for this time that you've given us. Lord, that we're able to be here to get away from the world just for a little bit and be able to focus on you. Lord, we know that you are here with us this morning and that your desire for us is to live abundant, Christ centered, spirit-filled lives for your glory, God. Lord, I pray that you would honor the preaching of your word. Lord, that you would cover over any mistakes that I have, that your Holy Spirit would move and minister to each of our hearts. We're all in different places here this morning, but we all serve the same God. And Lord, you see our hearts, you know where we're at, and Lord, we want to be those who hear you. And Lord, I love this verse that you inspired in Psalm 119:37. It says, turn my eyes away from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. And Lord, I pray that for us this morning and for this weekend, Lord, that our eyes would be turned away from looking at things that don't really matter and that we would be revived in the deepest part of our beings in your ways, Lord. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask a question. Are you a tree of the Lord? Wow, okay, wow. We got to talk to a group here. Yeah, are you a tree of the Lord? Now, that probably sounds funny, but hopefully at the end of the sermon, it's going to make sense. I want us to see two things in these first three verses, and we can go to the next slide. Wow, that's really small. I thought that would be bigger. Also, can you guys see this behind me, the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That's just so tiny. It looks really big on my computer screen. First thing I want us to see in these first three verses, about being grounded in the Lord, about being rooted in the Lord and living a life of vitality and fullness, is to be rooted in the Lord is to reject worldliness. In verse 1. Verse 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers." The first step to being grounded in the Lord, it's very simple. It is to live differently. This person described in this verse is not doing things that a lot of people are, that most people are doing. This person is not doing things that most people are doing. And what are they not doing? They're not doing three things. One, they're not walking in the counsel of the wicked. What does that mean? What does it mean to not walk in the counsel of the wicked? To not walk in the counsel of the wicked means to refusing to adopt the worldly ways of thinking about life in the world that we live in. This person refuses to accept the world's definition of marriage, of family, of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. Refusing the world's definition of who God is. Refusing the world's definition of what the meaning and the purpose of life is. Rejecting the world's definition of what it means to love. Rejecting a worldview that doesn't have God at the center of it. This blessed person ignores all guidance that doesn't come from the throne of God. Their lives are not shaped or influenced by the spirit of this age. They don't live by the wisdom of this world. If it doesn't come from the mouth of God, they don't listen to it. This is the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. But also this person, they do not stand in the path of sinners. To not stand in the path of sinners means that this person's lifestyle, their behaviors, their actions are different than the people that they live around, than those who do not know God. This person rejects sexual sin and instead is faithful to their God in their body, in their heart, in their mind. And if they're married, they're faithful to their spouse in this way. This person resists the urge to have an outburst of anger and instead prays to the Lord for not wanting to sin against someone. This blessed person resists holding on to unforgiveness, but instead works through the pain of being wrong and trusts in the Lord and be able to reach a place to forgive. This blessed person is not vengeful, but they return good for evil. They do not stand in the paths of sinners. The way that they live life is markedly different than the people around them. They live by the beat of a heavenly drum, not an earthly drum. But this person, they don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the path of sinners, nor do they sit in the seat of scoffers. And this one I had to think about a lot. What exactly is being said here? And I had some help looking it up. And this blessed person, this blessed man of God, this blessed woman of God, they do not sit in the seat of scoffers. which means that they don't associate, they don't pal around with those who openly and oppose and mock God. We love people that resist the Lord. They don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. We love them. We pray for them. If they're in our lives, we serve them. We show Christ to them. But they're not in our inner circle. Remember what the New Testament says. Bad company corrupts good character. This blessed person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the paths of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Do you remember Daniel? In the book of Daniel? He was in exile. He was living in Jerusalem, but then Babylon came in and overtook the area, and he took a bunch of exiles out of there, and he shipped them to Babylon. Well, that was Daniel. And Daniel refused to assimilate to the religious and cultural context of Babylon. He said, I'm going to be faithful to my God, even though I live in an area that does not honor him. He did not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Think of Joseph. Remember Joseph, how he was sold into slavery, and then he ended up being sold into slavery again to this man named Potiphar, and he was put in charge of over all the things in Potiphar's house, and the Lord blessed him, and Potiphar said, I'm going to give you control of everything. And then one day, Joseph was by himself, and Potiphar's wife was with him. Potiphar's wife said, Joseph, why don't we sleep together? And what does he say? How could I do this great evil against my God? Joseph did not stand in the path of sinners. Think about Job. After he is afflicted with losing his family and losing his money and losing pretty much everything, think of Job, who didn't follow his wife in saying, curse God, and die. He did not sit in the seat of scoffers with his wife. And I want us to see that rejecting worldliness is vital when it comes to being rooted in the Lord. Because entertaining sin, interacting with it, giving into it is very easy. It entangles us so easily, and it draws us away from the Lord. You see this up here? Well, hopefully you can. If you can't, you can look in your Bible, but the three verbs there. This person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the paths of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Walk, stand, sit. Do you notice a progression there? Sin is enticing. It's enticing to the soul, and God is working to undo that in our lives in Christ. Sin is like Italian cookie dough. Sorry. I didn't ask you about this. I forgot I was using this one. A few weeks ago, my wife and I made cookies. There's nothing bad. It was just illustration from life. My wife and I were making cookies, and by that I mean Andrea was making cookies, and I was the helper in the kitchen. And we made five different kinds of cookies, and the last cookies we made were Italian cookies. And at this point, it had been 4 or 5 hours. I was exhausted. I thought it would take a lot less time. And we have the Italian cookie dough, and we're, you know, I'm just reaching into it. Let's do this last batch. And it was so sticky. It was frustrating. I don't curse. But I was tempted to. It was so sticky. It was just like, oh my gosh. It just, as soon as you touched it, it just went everywhere, and then you tried to roll it up, and it just hung there, and I tried to just do that, and then it fell, and it was deformed, and I'm like, how are we going to get this last sheet of cookies done? That's how sin is. It's sticky. It's sticky to the soul. It's not just something that we commit. It's not just something we do. It's not just something we think about, but it is sticky to the soul. And it changes us. It influences us. It becomes a part of our identity before Christ. That's who we are. We don't just commit sin, but we are sinners. And this is why in this first verse, the blessed man or woman, they don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the path of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of scoffers. And the reason that this person can do this, it's not because they have a lot of great willpower. It's because the work of God has been done in their life. It's because God has worked salvation in the soul of this individual, and so it is God empowering them to not walk in the counsel of the wicked, to not stand in the path of sinners, to not sit in the seat of scoffers. I ask you this morning, is there sin that you are entertaining in your life? Examine your life. Think about everything that you do, how you think, why you think, what you watch, what you talk about, your hobbies. Are there any places where we are being informed by this fallen world around us? And I, a few weeks ago, my wife and I were watching a TV show. Really good, really entertaining. And we got done with it one night, and just out of nowhere, the conviction of God. You cannot watch this. I mean, it is so entertaining, so engrossing. It's just like next episode, staying up at 3 in the morning, like Victor said. I mean, it had everything that you could want. It was really entertaining, but it was entertaining ourselves with the very things that Christ died to set us free from. And then I was like, oh my gosh, we can't do this. Being rooted in the Lord means rejecting worldliness. It means rejecting the second, third, fourth, and fifth best of what this life has to offer. But as we're going to see in the next section, it's not just enough to reject worldliness. It's not just enough to say, I'm not going to eat junk food. We have to fill our lives with something good and wholesome. If we're going to reject the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth best, we have to fill ourselves with the best thing. And that is the Lord. That's what I want us to see in this next section. Second point, if you can go to the next slide. To be rooted in the Lord means to meditate on his word. Be rooted in the Lord by meditating on his word. So this blessed man or woman, they don't conform to the world around them and how they think and live and practice life. But in verse 2 we read, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This blessed person is joyful, they are delightful in God's law. This phrase, the law of the Lord, it's the Hebrew word Torah. And in its most basic meaning, it means instruction, specifically God's instruction to people. And so this person loves and delights in God's instruction. And so what I think that means for us today is that at one time, the law of the Lord meant the five books, the first five books of the Bible. At one point, the law of the Lord meant the entire Old Testament. But this morning, 2,000 years after the cross, I think this phrase, the law of the Lord, God's instruction to mankind, refers to our Bible, our 66 book standard of what God has said. And so our delight is to be in God's word. But this person doesn't just love God's word, they meditate on it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And what does it mean to meditate? I think for most of us, the common understanding is to empty out our mind, to become one with the universe. Right? But when we read the Bible, we see that that's not really the case. This word that's translated meditation, it shows up a few times later in the Psalms, many times, and it's translated as to think, to ponder, to reflect. And when that action occurs in the Psalms, the object of meditation is God, it's his attributes, it's what he's done in the world, it's his law, and it's how he has worked in our lives before. And so this person, this blessed person, they reject the world's definition of what it means to live and be human, and instead they delight in the Word of God. And they think about him, and they reflect on him, about who he is and what this means in here and how God has worked in our life previously. And it says, in his law he meditates day and night. It doesn't mean literally in the morning and in the evening, but all the time. Throughout the day, we're thinking about the Lord. I think it's similar to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, meditate without ceasing. Think about the Lord in everything that we do. So what does it mean to be grounded in the Lord according to Psalm 1? It means to reject the world that we live in. Don't take on its customs, its ways of thinking, its ways of behaving, and instead give ourselves over to the Lord. Very simple. We know this. At least I hope we know this. But it's good to be reminded of it. But what I find particularly amazing about this passage is verse 3. The blessed man, the blessed woman who doesn't conform to the world around them, but gives themselves over to the Lord. Listen to this. Verse 3. He will be like a tree, or she will be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Wow. See, if we think about verses 1 and 2, okay, rejecting worldliness, meditating on the Lord, those sound like, at times, very mundane activities. I don't scroll on my phone endlessly. I'm going to exercise self-control. I'm going to put it down, and I'm going to think about the Lord a little bit before I go to bed. Well, those seem like very mundane activities, but verse 3 provides a picture of what is going on inside of the man or the woman of God who does this. It's a spiritual picture, and the picture is of a tree. He or she will be like a tree. And I want to show you 5 things about this tree. Notice the word planted. This tree, this person is like a tree that is firmly planted. Last night, Victor asked, can soil remove rocks from itself? And the answer is no, no. Can trees plant themselves? No. Somebody else has to plant the tree. And in this picture, God is planting the tree. God is doing a work, a restorative work in our inner life, enabling us to not walk in the way of the world, but to give ourselves more to him. God is performing a new work in our life. We will be like a tree that is planted, that is moved from the dry, dusty, arid plains of the world and transplanted to a new place where the Lord wants us. And the Lord is doing that in your soul and in your life. But I want you to notice where he plants this tree. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. This tree is planted not by a little trickling creek that only has water when it rains. But no, this tree is planted by multiple streams of water, multiple channels of flowing water. And in this picture, this streams of flowing water is the word of the Lord. It is his Bible. Just as water feeds a tree and gives it nourishment and life, so too, when we delight in the law of the Lord, when we meditate on him all throughout the day, it feeds our soul. Remember what's spoken in Deuteronomy? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What sustains us is not food, it's not the things of this life, but it is God. This tree is firmly planted by streams of water. And I want you to notice the third thing. This tree is fruitful. This tree produces fruit. Again, just like what Victor spoke about last night, this tree produces fruit. Fruit is produced in the lives of the godly. The fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, patience, holiness, gentleness, contentment, generosity, everything that is good and holy, God produces in this person's life. They yield its fruit in its season. But also, this tree not only produces fruit in its season, but its leaf, it doesn't wither. That's what I want to see about this tree, the leaf. If we look outside, do we see any leaves out there? Right, I can't see any. Can you guys see any? Is there really a leaf? Yeah, okay. That is the exception. The rule is that there are no leaves. Why? Because leaves have a life cycle. They bloom in the spring and they thrive during the summer, and then they begin to die in the fall, and then they're non-existent in the winter, except when they're still hanging onto the tree a little bit. But they're dead. They're dead. They're not alive. But this tree, its leaf, it doesn't wither. That should strike us as strange. Why is this leaf not withering? Well, this leaf isn't withering because it's by constant, plentiful streams of water that is giving it life, even during a famine or during the winter or even during crazy circumstances. And so too the man or woman of God will not be overcome by the challenges and the difficulties of life. If you are rooted in the Lord, you will be like this leaf. You will not wither. You will not die, no matter what happens in your life. God will sustain you. God will sustain you by the power of his life-giving word. You will be like this leaf. Challenges will come. Life will be difficult, but the Lord will sustain you. You will not die. You will not wither. You will not crumple up and be forgotten. The Lord, he is your maker. He is your redeemer. He is your the one who is going to glorify you in eternity. And currently, he is your sustainer. Its leaf does not wither. The man or the woman of God who rejects worldliness, who gives themselves to the Lord, will not wither. Their soul is strong and fortified. And lastly, this tree, this which represents a person, this isn't a literal tree. In whatever he does, he prospers. This tree is prosperous. And what does it mean to be prosperous? Well, it can mean a lot of things. Sometimes the Lord blesses us with nice things in this life, not always, but we have spiritual blessings. We have prosperity in living life the way God designed it to be lived. And so when we do that in this present world, we don't experience troubles like everybody else. There's a verse, I believe it's in Psalm 32. It says, the sorrows of the wicked are many. Not a little, not some, not a lot, many. The sorrows of the wicked are many. And even though we experience difficulties in this life, when we live and strive to obey the Lord, we guard ourselves from a lot of hurts that we would experience if we didn't listen to him. We are prosperous in our life. Prosperous in marriage, prosperous in raising children, prosperous in our home, prosperous in our churches, in our workplace. This tree is prosperous. And prosperity is inevitable when you belong to God. And so, when you refuse to watch pornography and you cry out to the Lord, you are this tree. when you refuse to live for self, but for the glory of God, you are this tree. When you refuse to live by the world's wisdom, but you seek God, you are this tree. When you refuse to let your job and your family and your giftings become your identity, but you rest in your identity in Christ, you are this tree. When you refuse to curse God and instead praise Him, you are this tree. When you repent of your sin, when you believe in the gospel, when you trust in the work of Christ that has been done on your behalf, you are this tree. You are this tree. Even though life is difficult, even though challenges abound, God has done a new work in us through His Son, by the Spirit, by the gospel message, and we are a tree of the Lord, planted by living waters, and many of them, we yield fruit, we do not wither, and we prosper in all things because the Lord is with us. We are grounded. We are grounded in the Lord. And yes, we feel distant at times with the Lord, but we're planted by streams of water in Christ. Nothing in this world can overtake or overcome what God is doing in us. And any challenge that we meet, He will sustain us. Being grounded in the Lord, it's very simple. It's rejecting worldliness, and it's clinging to Him. It's repenting of the darkness, and it's going to the light. And this work of becoming a tree, this is not new year, new me. This is divine intervention. It's not self-improvement that you can buy at the bookstore. This is the work of God in the soul. And when we refuse to live like the world and think like the world and entertain ourselves like the world, we're following God's leading and being changed. When we delight in the law of the Lord, we are following God and we're giving Him room to grow us and to change us. And I want to close with one thought. We didn't look at verse 4, but if you have your Bibles, look in verse 4, just real quickly. We just saw this image of a tree, and it represents the spiritual reality of the person spoken of in verses 1 and 2. They're like a tree from planted by streams of water. They're strong, they're vital, they're fruitful, they're resilient. Look at verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. The wicked are not what? The wicked are not this tree. The wicked are not this strong, fruitful, bountiful tree. Instead, they are chaff. What's chaff? Very, very quickly. In the ancient world, when a farmer would harvest his grain, he would bring it back, and then you'd have the grain of head, and then you'd have this outer husk, and so they would cut the stems off, and they would have the grain, and they throw it in the air, and the grains of head would fall down to the ground, which is what you wanted, and the outer husk, the chaff, would fly away. And Psalm 1 is saying is that the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff. Chaff is dry. It has no value. It's light. It has no substance. It's driven away easily. It's the complete opposite of what is pictured in verse 3 with this tree. And the Bible tells us that at one point, all of us were the wicked. All of us were the people described in verse 4. Because even though we try not to walk in the counsel of the wicked, we still fail. We still sin. We still give into it. Even though we ought to delight in the law of the Lord, we don't always, and we struggle with that. But I want to encourage you today. If there's one man who lived life without ever walking in the counsel of the wicked, one man who never stood in the path of sinners, one man who never sat in the seat of scoffers, one man who truly delighted in the law of the Lord as he ought to be delighted in, and that is Jesus. Jesus has gone before us. He has done the work, and Jesus calls the wicked to themselves, to himself, and he makes the wicked the blessed. You notice that in verse 1, how blessed is the man. Jesus calls the wicked to himself, and he makes them blessed. Jesus calls the chaff, and he makes them into trees of the Lord. So, it begins with Christ. It's sustained by Christ, and it ends with Christ. We must rely on him and cooperate with his grace. And in that way, we will be grounded in the Lord. We will be a strong tree, fruitful, resilient, prosperous. Let us pray. God, I thank you for this message that you've given us, that we've been able to look at Psalm 1. Lord, we know and we trust that your Holy Spirit is here working among your people. Lord, all of us are in different places, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us according to where we are. God, we want to be trees. We want to be strong, resilient, fruitful trees that are prosperous in you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in our life. Lord, if we need to be encouraged, encourage us this morning. If we need to be convicted, convict us. Lord, if we need to be consoled, console us, Lord. Lord, our lives are in your hand. We want to cooperate with your grace, and we don't want to resist you. Make us trees and not chaff. In the name of Jesus, amen.